Good evening. May I again invite us to turn to the book of John. John chapter 15. We began to consider the passage, verse 9 to 17 in the morning, and we will conclude this evening. Shall we read together from verse 9, John 15? As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I've spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I've called you friends, for all things I've heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. Indeed, we saw in the morning that God the Father has loved the Son, and that the Son has also loved us, and that we are to pattern our love for each other after the pattern of the love the Son, the Father has for the Son, because the Son has loved us as the Father has loved him. And we also noted that this love is so deep, is something that we cannot comprehend with our minds, that God in eternity, God who is everlasting, could love his Son with an everlasting love, and that love also indeed shown to us. We consider the love of the Father, which is deep, and which is indeed beyond our comprehension. And then we also consider the love of the Son, that the Son also loves the Father. And because he loves the Father, he has kept his commandments. He has obeyed the Father, and he has obeyed the Father in coming to die for us, for our sins. The Father indeed commanded him to do so, and he obeyed, and he expressed his obedience to the Father, indeed to come and give his life as a ransom for many. And this evening we're going to move on and look at the love of the disciples. We'll look at the love of the disciples, because we are told that just like as God the Father had loved Jesus, he also had loved his disciples. And then the Lord Jesus Christ says he's commanding his disciples to love one another in verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And this is not the first time that the Lord is basically giving this commandment. In chapter 13, verse 34, that was the first time. He says, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. So here the Lord Jesus Christ was saying that he was giving them a new commandment. And this was not new necessarily. God had already commanded his people that they should indeed love their neighbors as they love themselves in the Old Testament. However, what was new with this commandment was that they were to love each other as Christ has loved the church. And that love of Christ loving the church is a love with which Christ gave up his life for the church. And they were to love each other. And as we this evening will consider how this love for Christ works itself out, and then we'll also get the love of the saints, the love of his disciples work out. We'll consider firstly their love to Christ, and secondly also their love to one another. And firstly, their love for Christ. We read that in verse 10 that they need to abide in his love. And that's what he is commanding them to do. He says in verse 9, "Just as the Father has loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. And you will keep my commandments. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love." So here the Lord Jesus Christ was saying that to express their love for God, in other words, to express their love for Christ, they needed to abide in Christ's love. And to abide in Christ's love, as we saw in the morning, to abide is to stay in the same given state, to stay, to remain in the same given point, as it were. Now, before this, in chapter 15, we read that Christ is indeed the true vine, and that every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes, and he takes care of those branches that don't bear fruit. He tends them so that they can bear fruit. And he says in verse 4, "Abide in me, abide in the vine, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." So the picture here is that you will not have the branch without the vine. You need the vine to have the branch. And for the vine to survive, for the branch to survive, you need the vine. So Christ is saying that the disciples were joined to him. They were already joined to him as branches. There was some sap running from the vine to the branches. The vine was giving life to the branches. And Christ had indeed given life to his disciples, and he has given life to us because they are joined to him. Now, because they are joined to him, by implication is that they already have some love of Christ, because Christ has loved them. For them to be joined to him, they must have some communion with him. Otherwise, they are not his. They are not part of him. So he is commanding them to stay joined to him. And particularly, in our case here, joined in his love, to remain in his love. And Christ's love, which is that of, like the Father's, a deep love, a full love, pure and eternal, perfect, unfathomable love, is what he is calling his disciples to stay in, to live under. Indeed, Christ himself loved us. They need to stay there. And in this love, this mysterious, tender love that he had commanded his disciples to stay in, they were to live in, and as they do that, they needed to express this by keeping the commandments. And because they were already joined to the vine, they were already joined to Christ, and in some sense experienced Christ's love. The fact that he is telling them to abide, it seems to me that there is a blessing when they abide. They are already joined. They are branches. But when they abide, they will experience the fullness with which the love of God is intended for them to experience here below. They will experience what Jesus is saying that he had heard from his Father and he has told them. They will experience the blessings of God flowing to them. And hence, the need for them to actually abide, or else they will not experience these blessings. Abiding in Christ's love, also here, the fact that the Lord is commanding the disciples to abide, abiding in his love is something that all of us need to deliberately do. The disciples needed to do. Just like the other commandments, there is some practical implications which demand some action on our part and on the part of the disciples at this point. Because when the Lord has commanded us not to steal, we need not to steal, okay? And we need to take measures not to steal, practical measures. And now the Lord has commanded them that they need to actually abide in his love. By implication also, it's possible that you can go on trying to negate your duty, your commandment, not obeying the commandment to abide in Christ's love, not to obey his command to obey in Christ's love. And so there is a possibility that you can actually go and not anchor your life in the Lord Jesus Christ's love. So we need to do something about this. We need to continually, abiding talks about remaining. We need to continually abide in Christ's love. And we need to do this, and God is gracious, brothers and sisters. He has given us motivation. He did give the disciples motivation to abide. And he has also given us motivation. He has motivated us that we need to attend to this matter of abiding in his love, because he himself done it with the Father. And he is our Lord and our example. So we can, by his grace, also be enabled to abide in his love. And how do you abide in his love? We already saw that to abide means you basically dwell within the ambience, the environment of the love of God in the morning. And so how do you do that? You do that by ensuring that your heart and mind are in the right place, have the right view, and meditate upon God's goodness and mercy through his love. And you do this by attending to what God has provided. And these are the means of grace. As you read God's word, you will be enabled to see the wonders of his love. And you'll be caused to see how you need to react to his commandment and to his love. As you attend upon the means of grace fellowship, you will be reminded that you are joined together in this bond of love with others, and through others also receive the blessings that God has intended for you to stay in his love. And you to remember also that you are loved of God. He is the one that has first loved you, and you are God's object of love. And you need to remember that. And these efforts need some deliberate action on our part. Devotion to God, and by his grace, attending to the means of grace and meditating upon his love, his mercy, his goodness for you. In the second place, they were to express their love for Christ by his joy remaining in them. Now, joy is a good pleasure and happiness that basically comes from loving God and believing in him. This is some deep-rooted pleasure that is not influenced easily by the outward, by the external circumstances. It's rooted in God himself, and God gives it to his children. Now here, Christ also had joy, because he says these things in verse 11, I've spoken to you. What are these things? About his love. That my joy may remain in you, and your joy may be full. Christ has joy. He has great fulfillment and contentment in serving and loving his Father. And all that he does was an expression of his love to the Father. And he lives in full joy, again, just like his love, inexpressible joy that Christ lives in. And Christ is concerned that his followers also go about living in his joy. And also, he has given them joy of their own, that they will experience this in their hearts as they love and serve him. Christ's great love and mercy ensues within his disciples, the great joy that comes. And as they enjoy his love, enjoy their Savior, their Master, their friend, their joy also will be enhanced. Indeed, having a joy of Christ will produce great fulfillment in our hearts. Being content with our Lord Jesus Christ and loving him and seeking to do what he has said we must do first, we will be fulfilling his great design that we must indeed also have joy in this world. Indeed, have complete joy. In other words, our joy can keep on growing and growing and finally reaches its fullness as we get to heaven. That we should find in him great pleasure and great satisfaction in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the question is, do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you find great satisfaction in the Lord Jesus Christ? We must, as his people. He has made provisions for us to do this in himself. So they were to express their love by seeking and pursuing joy, the joy of Christ, and also by so doing, ensuring that their joy is actually growing, is getting to the full. And thirdly, they were to express their love for Christ by keeping his commandments. And to keep here talks about holding on, keep holding on. They were to keep the commandments. And these are the commandments of Christ. Are they the same as the Ten Commandments? Yes. But they include also the teaching and commands of the Lord Jesus Christ in the New Testament. And Christ has commanded a lot of things that we must follow in the New Testament, including the Lord's Supper. Do this in remembrance of me. So we need to keep and hold the commandments of the Lord Jesus Christ, all that he has said, all that he has commanded, and all that Christ has said, as we have seen already, that Christ speaks what is of the Father, and no word that Christ speaks is his own, is from the Father. So Christ's words, Christ's commandments, are God the Father's commandments. And we need to keep this. And when we keep the commandments, and keeping here talks about obedience, when we obey the commandments of Christ and seek to apply what Christ has commanded us, we will be showing that we are his. We are actually abiding in his love. That's what he's talking about there. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments, if you keep my commandments in verse 10, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments. So keeping Christ's commandments is evidence that you are actually his. Now, the work of salvation happens inwardly. However, keeping commandments, we do it outwardly. Of course, there's an implication of the commandments in terms of our souls, in terms of our inward self, but much more, we prove that we are Christ when we follow and keep his commands. Keeping commandments, God's commandments, Christ's commandment, is as a result of our love for God. So in other words, if you don't love God, you will not keep his commandments. Are you keeping his commandments? Are you abiding by Christ's teaching in his word, in the New Testament as well as the Old Testament? Are you keeping what God has clearly instructed us? And we are privileged here at LBC every Sunday, Sunday in and Sunday out, week in and week out, we have more of Christ's words explained to us, more of God's words and his commands explained to us so that we can apply it in our lives. Are we in that habit of taking time to take stock of what we have heard from him, and particularly looking for practical ways in which we can actually execute this and apply it in our lives? That way we will be showing that we are actually Christ's and that he is ours. So they were to indeed express his love, their love to Christ, in these ways. In the second place, we go and look at the disciples' love for one another. Indeed, he had given them that commandment which we had looked at, that new commandment that they need to love each other. And in verse 2, he says, verse 12, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And verse 17, these things I've commanded you, that you must love one another. In other words, everything I've been talking about, the love of God and the love of God the Father for the Son, and the love of the Son to you, must indeed be a pattern from which you learn how to love each other. I'm commanding you these things so that you love each other. You must dearly love each other. And he has shown us already that he has no greater love than a man lay down his life for his friends. So God the Father himself had to give. We did in the morning just explore how close they were together. In eternity past, they began to work together. And Christ was loved of the Father from eternity past. And for God the Father to give the Lord Jesus Christ away, what a huge thing. Imagine if your child, if you're a parent, your child was going to be sacrificed or given away to some other people to save them. We probably may not allow that. And we've just known them for a short time, maximum maybe 50 years. We can't let go of them. But think about God the Father, who dearly loves the Son deeply, so that you can't compare the love of the Father to the Son to anything. And then he actually allows him to lay down his life for his friends. He allows him to go and save those people, the world, you and I. This is great love indeed. And he's saying, love like this. Love like this, a giving love. A giving love, love like this. Now, this is how we should love each other. We should love each other, brothers, and directly be engaged in each other's life. That's what Christ did with his friends here. He says, he actually shared everything that the Father had shared with them. God's revealed will, he had made it known to them. He didn't hold back. He was open with his friends. He was direct with his friends with regard to what the Father had told him. He communicated his minds with his friend. Indeed, he laid down his life for his friends. They have implications, brothers and sisters, in terms of how we need to love each other. Are we communicating our minds like Christ did? Are we mingled with each other in such a way that we can say that we actually share deeply as Christ did with his disciples? They shared much and they shared everything. And we should be bound to each other, and we should know what is actually happening. For Christ to lay down his life for his friends, he knew what the friends needed. In eternity past, he knew he was going to have friends who will need a savior, and he came to die for them. Our expressions of love will only be deep and great when we know exactly what is needed by our friends, when we know what is happening with them, and probably we have what it takes, indeed, to have our lives given over. He loved them to the very end. Now, I just wanted us to look at how this love expresses itself in terms of other ways. We have already discussed some, and drawing actually from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And one other way is that Christ gave himself, and Christ basically showed them in terms of how they need to love. He actually facilitated their salvation. He made sure they were saved. And practically, it means, brothers and sisters, as we express our love, we need to sometimes be the ones to look out and help one another in the road, in our road to sanctification, as we are facilitating each other so that we can become better and know the Lord better, to move us from where we are in our walk with the Lord to a better place. And this is why Christ placed us within a fellowship like Lusaka Baptist Church, that we must indeed attend to each other. And we must already, apart from just knowing what's happening, we must know so that we can actually meet each other's needs and facilitate each other, even with regard to our walk with the Lord. And how do you do this? You must be at the prayer meeting. Prayer requests are shared. And if you're not there, you won't know what is needed. And often, the needs could easily be met within the church. But if you're not there, you won't know. Be at the prayer meeting. And we need to have the grace of opening up. And also opening up to what we need. And often, saints would suffer alone, because they haven't actually shared with the saints what they need, even when other saints could actually meet their needs. But they have just kept quiet, and they have gone on, and before long we don't see them at church, and they go on and miss out on the blessing that God has given them in the one another to love each other. We pray for the grace of opening up. Indeed, let's also pray for the grace to understand. Sometimes when people open up their lives to us, these are deep things. And we need to have grace. Sometimes it doesn't make sense to us. But you know, they are God's children and it matters to them. We pray for grace to understand the needs of the saints. And these are practical things. And we also need to pray that we should meet those needs. It's not just an issue of having the grace for people to share and the grace to also understand, the grace to be willing to meet the need. Now, it's very interesting when you go back to the Lord Jesus Christ. What did he give up to actually meet the need of his friends? You know, he gave up heaven. He gave up bliss with the Father. He gave up indeed, holiness in heaven, where there was, by holiness, I mean the environment was holiness. He wasn't troubled by anyone. And he came indeed to be subjected to his own creation. He came off his comfort zone, his strength, I mean his what was his by right, so that he can come to meet the needs of his friends. And brethren, this calls us sometimes to do just that. It's easy to be very comfortable. Imagine if Christ would say, okay, I'll just find a way. Maybe there's another way I can go and meet the need of those people. There was no other way. Christ had to do it. Could be that the Lord placed you here and raised you so that you can actually meet the need of the saints as an expression of your love. And this may entail giving up your comforts to meet the needs of the saints. Another way that we need to express this love for each other, is by serving one another. Serving one another, okay? And in Galatians 5 verse 3, the Galatians were being urged to save one another. You see, they were in bondage. They were bonded by those people that were preaching salvation by keeping the law. And then the Apostle Paul tells them that they need to be free. They have been set free. You know, by their becoming Christians, by them becoming saints, they've been set free. And now they needed to express their freedom by obeying God, but also by serving one another. And they were to save one another. And this is a great way. You save one another in meeting the needs, as I've already said. But this is a great way of showing that we actually love each other by desiring to promote the welfare of each other and serving each other practically, but also serving each other within the church through our spiritual gifts. We've been given spiritual gifts, and we ought to save each other through our spiritual gifts. They are not ours to keep. They are given for the common good of the saints, of the church. And you have the grace for that spiritual gift, okay? We are also encouraged in the New Testament that we need to serve according to the grace God has given us. That means that God has given us grace, each one, an amount of grace that is sufficient for your gift, sufficient for you. In other words, the grace that is given to one brother or sister is very different from the other grace, from the grace given to the other saint. And so that you need to remember that you have a very peculiar grace given up to you, given to you by the Lord, so that you can fulfill your ministry in the church of serving one another as an expression of your love for the church, for each other. And I think we need to actually get this quite so much in our minds, because often you find that we pull back. We need to go. If God has given you that grace, I just gave an example of the flowers in the morning. Perhaps it's just one or two people given this grace. Imagine if they are not going to take it up and say, what happened? Given this grace to just make up flowers. And I'll do it joyfully. I'm saving the church. I'll do it because I have the grace. And you see, it's a grace that God has given you, and you're doing it for the honor of God. So get committed to the calling that He's given you in the church with your gift, and go out. God has given you. You don't need to look over your shoulders. If it's your gift and you're in the church, exercise it. You will be showing your love to the saints, which God has given you to freely share and spread across. Another analogy of the body. You know, he says we are all one body with different parts. You see, the arm is only given grace to do the work of an arm, and so is the leg. Now, the leg can't be looking to the arm to walk. And if the leg won't walk, the whole body won't walk. So, within the body, God has given us legs so that the whole body can move, can walk, and benefit from what can be taken, can be gotten by moving. And so, brothers and sisters, we have been saved. We've been given gifts, each one apportioned appropriately for yourself. Are you using it to express your love for each other and to help the other saints move on in the Lord? And I pray that we'll do so and honor the Lord and grow the saints. Christ himself, in terms of considering this lastly, is really, he expressed his love by giving his life. But also he demonstrated, remember in the upper room, he washed the feet of the disciples, setting a pattern for them that they must serve one another. They must be available to minister to each other in varied ways for the honor of God. Then how do we conclude then? Brothers and sisters, we need to abide in Christ's love because Christ has loved us. we need to abide in his love. And we need to deliberately be seeking to obey his commands. Are you seeking to do this? And secondly, find your greatest fulfillment in loving and serving Christ. And you love him if you obey his commandments. And if you obey his commandments, you will actually find great joy, and your joy will increase to the fullest. And thirdly, love each other from the heart as Christ loved his church. This is deep love. And we are called to deep loving each other. We need to love each other deeply. And this will be a mark of his disciples. You know, in John 13:35, he says, you know, by this all will know that you are my disciples if you love each other. What kind of impact will our love have on the world if we love the way Christ loved and demonstrated to us that we need to love? The world will actually know. I'm very thankful that we have some practical ways already expressed love within this church, but we can do much more, brothers and sisters. And lastly, all these things we've spoken, we have great motivation. We have great motivation because Christ, our friend, Christ who loves us dearly and has made provisions for you and me to actually abide in his love, to love him and to love each other. Let's obey him and seek him because he has already provided all that is needed for us to abide in him, to love him dearly, and also to love one another in practical ways as he did. And may the Lord help us to grow in his love and to love each other deeply.